Welcome to the Diary-Driven Apartment Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Briscoe with Streamline Capital Group, and very excited for today's show. We've got Brian Escudero on the line with us today. So, Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I think we got to talk about the spelling of your name. I think you have it wrong.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, you know, with my name, my last name, B-R-I-S-C-O-E, B-R-Y-A-N would just look weird, you know?
You got me there. Yeah.
Yeah, it would, you know, but I would argue that point, you know, in another setting, you know, if we're sitting at a bar, you know, drinks together, I'd definitely argue, you know, maybe take you outside, you know, if we couldn't come to an agreement there, but.
you'd beat me there. I'm good for about 33 seconds. That's all I got in me nowadays.
Well, yeah, I'm old and slow myself. So, you know, I mean, I probably trip on the way out. But anyway, happy to have you on the show today. I've been seeing you a lot on LinkedIn. Love the content you're putting out. Looks like you're building up quite a following. So very excited to get you on the show today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the invite. I was surprised that you would reach out. You know, you're someone that I respect. I see a lot of what you do. And I know you've been doing it for a while. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, let's talk about you now. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us an idea of your background. And if you would, just background, take us up to, you know, where you started investing in real estate.
So I still have a W-2 and I am in media and okay. I'm in charge of a large department. Mm-hmm. And so took the long route through school because, you know, my family immigrated to this country 50 mm-hmm. years ago. So I was born in Cleveland. Went through school, got out of high school, went to college, had to stop because needed to work. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bunch of stops and starts there. Got married and I was going back to school for accounting. And then my wife got sick, so I had to stop. Took another pause. And then as things kind of settled down, jumped back in. Mm-hmm. Got my bachelor's degree by the time I was 42. And when I was done, we went to the graduation, got back, got COVID. Mm-hmm. And then I was listening to a podcast, right? Because then it was like, what's the next thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, school's done. Lord, what is it? Is it a master's degree, which mm-hmm. is about 3 years and $50,000?
Yep.
Or real estate, $50,000 in 6 months, I can figure out if I'm going to be any good at this thing.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like the decision point, right? It was like, you know, mm-hmm. where are we going to go? Dove in heavy into books, podcasts, you know, interviews, yeah. listening to the experts, and then realized something. Hey, this is a thing that normal people do. It mm-hmm. moves at a speed that I can understand. And I tend to obsess over things. So I jumped in pretty heavily. And then understanding, right? So in my W-2 life, I have to make decisions with imperfect information. And mm-hmm. with my wife's health issues, I have to make decisions with imperfect information. Mm-hmm. And so that is something, one of the qualities that we can bring into real estate. There's a lot of things that you can understand, but at the end of the day, you gotta take that step. So yeah. being a first generation born American, we launched this company. And the thought is there's a lot of people like us that have some success in their, you know, day to day, and they just need someone to walk with them, you know, to explain to them what investing is about, safe ways to do it, you know, explain mm-hmm. to them the risk. And then we talk about helping people take the first step.
Yeah.
And then more importantly is the next first step. And you do that 10 times, you're 10 steps down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you say, you know, it was after you get your degree, presumably that came with, you know, better job opportunities on the corporate side. And you said you kind of had a decision between that and real estate. Let me dial back a little bit. What made real estate appealing to you, first of all?
So I did something that apparently not a ton of people do, is I wrote a business plan before I started, right? Mm-hmm. It was, what is the essence of our company going to be? And the essence of our company is to help people. Again, I have a decent job, you know, I live well beneath my means, but, you know, it's just an unknown, and real estate just seems like something that can be known. I don't, mm-hmm. I had started to dabble a little bit in, you know, Bitcoin and Dogecoin, just, you know, all mm-hmm. of these altcoins. And it was just moving too, like, I didn't understand enough, and there's people that do well with it, mm-hmm. but, you know, my life is not one that I want to be up at 3 a.m. waiting to see this thing go up and down. And so real estate is something that I could understand. You know, I don't think I'm smarter than most, but, you know, I can understand, you know, economics. I can understand economies yeah. of scale and insurance and taxes. And so that drew me to it. And then the reality was, it wasn't something that was completely foreign to me because I've always mm-hmm. lived in a house, right? Yeah. So, yeah. you know, it's something that I could touch. And then as far as bringing people along, it's the understanding that most people can do something like this. And I live in Miami. So a lot of people are sitting on tons of equity in their homes and that's their biggest deposit of wealth. And so, but it's not really an asset, right? So, you know, rich dad, poor dad, you know, you could lose it tomorrow, right? If you lose your job or what have you, if that's not spinning off any cash for you, you could find yourself in a problem. So education really helped us push against that fear, right? And that's what we talk to people a lot. It's like, hey, you can educate yourself. You can put yourself in a better spot than you would normally be. And the reality is a lot of people just kind of stick their heads in the ground. And we're like, hey, let's get your head out of the ground, get your head out of the sand and stare at your retirement, at your children's retirement. Like just stare at it for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And it can be scary. But many times people are better off than they thought, or there are some kind of decisions that they can make to get going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times it's like, hey, investing with us is not the right decision for you right now, but you're going to be on the right path and, you know, we will help point you in the right direction. And then, you know, you can come back to us later. And that's a big part of it.
Yeah. I love that burying your head in the sand analogy. I mean, I think there was a long time for me in my life where I was just plugging forward, almost ignoring what was going on, you know? So I think metaphor rings true with me where it took me until I was late 30s, early 40s for that wake up call to say, oh my gosh, you know, I think it was my 40th birthday. It was my wake up call. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm 40 already. And I haven't gotten half the things done that I had imagined that I would get done. But going back to something else you said, you talked about, you know, the first step, you know, and taking a bunch of, you know, first steps to get you 10 steps down the road. What was the biggest step that you had to take to get involved in commercial real estate?
So I jumped in pretty heavily into just learning and just the business that I'm in. You're on live TV, you know, you just got to go. You got to make a decision. And sometimes it's not the best one, but you move. So one of the things that I always heard was you got to do your first property. Like it's your learning property. I'm like, who learns buying a $150,000, $200,000 asset? Like that sounds crazy, but you learn enough and you educate yourself enough. You see that there is a reason behind that because you can learn all this theory, but until you do the first one, you're going to learn more on that first one than you would in 100 books. We bought the first two duplexes pretty close, about a month apart. And then every time I was going to do a deal, I wanted to learn something else. And so our first commercial property was small, 6 units, you know, just bumping out of that four, right? So four and under, and then and now going into six. You know, it was an understanding of, hey, this looks like a good deal. It's a good market, right? So first we studied the market and we're in Columbus, Ohio, which is a great market. It's a good growth market. And the question became, the fundamentals were there. And then the trigger was, I would talk to a couple people about that deal and they're like, oh, I'd like to jump in on that. And so it wasn't the first deal that we did with investors. But it was the first deal that I knew that I was going to have true partners in a deal, right?
Yeah.
And people that would help support what we were doing. This project gave me something that I think is important in my life. And it's we were going to be able to impact more people, right? Yeah. So on a duplex, I'm able to help out, you know, two tenants or two families.
Right.
And then the second duplex two, but now six, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and if you go on our website, you'll see that our process is we help our tenants. We help the property managers. They take care of the property, take care of the investors. The investors take care of us. And so we always want to be last. And so, you know, in my business world, when I started supervising people, again, it was started with four, then 10, then 20. And now, you know, we're at a couple hundred people that we get to impact lives. And so that is something that really drove me was the reality that in this space, there is room for people that didn't come from money, people that are not driven by becoming millionaires. You know, like I mentioned, you know, my wife has some health issues. So tomorrow I'm making an extra $10,000 a month. I'm not going to jump on a plane and go to France. Like that's never going to be my life. And so that helps ground us and say, hey, we don't need to be about the dollars, right? You know, our investors, they're way more important than we are. But the reality is we can have an impact on people's lives. And so, you know, there's quite a few times where we've been able to do that positively. And I think we've been able to take a different outlook than some other people. You know, we took over an apartment complex in August. And earlier in the year, the delinquents were $40,000. And it wasn't like we went in and started kicking people out. What was it? It was a heavily Hispanic community. We got a Spanish-speaking property manager. She literally met 123 families and taught them how to pay on an app. And our delinquencies are at zero. So hardworking families. It's just when you go knock on a door, somebody's going to be working. Somebody's not going to be there. And so, again, impact is really what drove us to go into the commercial space.
Yeah. I love that. You know, it's, and something you said is very similar to, you know, what our company's core tenets are, you know, is you help the tenants live better lives. You know, you help them have clean, safe housing, and you do everything else, everything you can to kind of put a bubble around that apartment complex. And by doing that, you're helping your investors, you know, some of them, and a lot of the investors in our deals, I bring a lot of first-time investors into our properties, just like, you know, just like your company name, first generation, you know, we bring a lot of first-time investors and first-generation investors into our deals too. And you're helping them with their financial goals. And if you do things right, that ends up helping yourself. You know, I 100% agree with what you say. Yeah, put yourself last, focus on those two things, and everything else is just going to fall into place.
Yeah. So again, I have a blast. The biggest surprise for me has been the community of real estate investors, such a giving community. I did not expect that, right? Why? Because when you don't know, you expect everyone to be a shark and they're out to get you. And it's like, man, no. So I met some very, very giving people. And I think that has been so amazing. And so my encouragement to those that are thinking about getting into this space is like, hey, don't be scared to ask questions. Yeah. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how much people are willing to give you.
That is very, very interesting. You know, and well, actually, one of the benefits of a podcast, you know, for people who are interested in starting that is, you know, now you have longer conversations with people that you wouldn't normally have. But yeah, it is very much so. And people, you know, I've thought about that a lot. You know, why is it like that? You know, and something I was talking about to some, in a separate conversation yesterday or the day before is, you know, even if we are competing on an asset right now, you know, if there's somebody operating in my space, you know, in the same metro that I'm operating in, and the same asset class, you know, has very similar buy box and investment, you know, strategies, there's going to come a time when they're selling their properties, you know, and it makes sense to keep the relationships good and cordial. You might be competing on a couple of properties here and there, but most markets are big enough that I can't buy 12 apartments at once. You know, some big groups may be able to do it, but realistically, the actual competition isn't like most people think it could be, or like it is in other industries anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's my two cents on that one.
No, I agree. I would wholeheartedly agree. You know, The reality is, you know, and you hear it, your network is your net worth. But the truth of the matter is you're going to cross paths with these people, right? You go to the same conferences, you listen to the same people, you're going to meet them. And again, I was just surprised by that. And I say it a lot, you know, I think that it's just a very giving community, not just to itself, but also a lot of the operators in this space. They're so like, you know, charity is such an important part of what they do. I think it's amazing. You know, people that will, you know, share with their profits, try to get these communities, you know, bike events and backpack events and, you know, for holidays and all that stuff. You know, part of it is, you know, there's a genuineness to it. And you also do it because you're trying to keep these tenants happy. Like you mentioned, you want them to have good lives and they'll stay longer. But, you know, sitting in these groups, just saying, hey, you know, let's take care of these folks. They don't need to have a broken, you know, dump area. Let's put up some fences, like, you know, you go in there, let's restripe a parking lot, let's beautify this place, you know, because they want to take care of it. They want to be proud of where they live.
Yeah. And that's something I've seen over and over again. You know, if you as the owner allow the property to spiral downhill, other people will stop taking care of it. You know, if you're taking care of it, if you're sending the cleaners through, you know, or if you're, you know, making sure it's well landscaped, you know, you'll see the people living there do the same thing because they want to live in a place they're proud of. So and I found time and time again, it helps our bottom line because, like you said, they're going to stay longer, you know,
one of our properties, we have an average tenancy of 5 years.
Wow.
That's somebody that's been there for like 35 years. If we, you know, as you move rents, if that person is ever like, hey, I can't afford it, we're not going to move their rent. Like that's a staple there, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And in most cases, you know, unless there's a huge disparity between what they're paying and what the market rents are, in most cases, you want to keep those people in, you know, just from an economic standpoint, if somebody's lived there for 35 years, I mean, when they move out, you're going to have to replace just about everything, you know? Yep. And so, yeah, it's probably worth a little bit of reduced rent, you know, to keep that guy or that person that's been in there for 25, 35 years to keep staying there. Cause it just, there's less cost that you're going to have to push out. So, well, cool. So let's talk a little bit about some of the big challenges you had starting out. you know, just getting into the business, you know, buying your first large apartment complex. What would you say your biggest challenge was and how did you overcome it?
Yeah. So my biggest challenges are typically self-imposed, right? So my biggest fear was I'm going to go into a room with these mega high operators and I'm just going to suck the air out of the room. Like I'm not going to be able to add value to the team. And so the reality is, right now I'm 44, but you know, when I was there, I was over 40. I have a long career in the corporate world. So is my partner, who's a civil engineer by trade. And we got there and, you know, a lot of these folks are hustlers, grinders, you know, house flippers, wholesalers, and they're, you know, they're now doing syndications. And some of them have hundreds into the thousands of doors, but a lot of them don't have structure. And so part of my job is, you know, strategic management. You know, we deal a lot of with a lot of standard operating procedures. And so getting in the room and bringing a little bit of that, a little bit of structure, a little bit of process, a little bit of strategy to how we're doing things, we added value. And so that challenge was, all right, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to be quiet. I don't know anything. I'm just going to be a fly in the wall. Yeah. But then you just start saying, hey, these people are begging for that. You know, we were on a team that wasn't getting along so great. Right. And a lot of what I do with this conflict resolution.
Yeah.
And so, you know, having sidebar conversations, hey, maybe, you know, when you're addressing this person, maybe you want to take that on, you know, outside of the group, you know, it doesn't look good for you as a lead to be, you know, coming at people. And so you're able to, you know, add value in that sense. And I would encourage anyone who thinks, you know, that they bring nothing to the table. If you're alive, you're learning something and there's a skill set that you can bring. Maybe you don't know how to swing a hammer. Right. Maybe you don't know how to use a chainsaw, but that's not what these conversations are about as syndicators. You know, there's going to be someone, you know, you might need to be the person that's checking invoices, making sure that, you know, the numbers match, any number of things. And so my biggest challenge was, how am I going to bring value to this team? And we did it, you know, well enough where, you know, we're invited to join other projects. And, you know, as the company continues to grow and as we continue to be selective about the projects we get into, you know, we have been able to add value and you know, we're at the table, you know, we're able to give that to the operators and to the investors.
Nice. All right. So question I love listening to the answer from, because, you know, a lot of people have, you know, different ideas of the future, different dreams, different goals. You know, what's next for you?
Yeah. So on the real estate side, you know, 2024, our goal is to at least do one more transaction. We want to get into one acquisition. But before that, we're working on launching a fund. And, you know, we have a very significant partner in that. And so we're excited about that. We should be finishing up in a couple of weeks. So we want to just raise capital for that. And the reason we're doing it is because it's just got a different timeline for our investors. You know, it's a different entry point. And we want to give them a little bit of diversification because we are building lifelong investors, right? We don't want a one and done. And so I was sitting with one the other day having a cup of coffee. And, you know, you treat these people right. They're ready to go on the next one. You know, and so people that are looking to be syndicators, you know, you have to take care of the investors. You know, we like to be communicative, and it's not the goal is not to be a drag on the investor, right? If they don't want to talk to us, that's fine. But we're out there, right? If you want to call me, text me, I'll call you back. You know, I had someone reach out, random question, and I called them. They're like, oh, you call me back. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're important to me. So it's one transaction now. And then the fund first. I'm actually going to be speaking at a conference, which I'm super pumped about. I was humbled to be invited to speak on a panel at Race Fest,
okay,
in Phoenix. So that's kind of cool. And then we'll keep growing, and you know, we have larger goals for the next few years.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean the transactions have slowed down quite a bit. You know, so. Yeah, I think one transaction for the year, you know, is a lot more than a lot of people are going to be doing. So, awesome. Well, good luck at Raise Fest on that panel. I think that's a pretty good event. I was at Raise Fest last year. I know I think it's 3 weeks away from today, but I haven't bought tickets yet. I still might show up. We'll see. You know,
well, if you're there, you know, I'd love to shake your hand.
Absolutely. So, well, perfect. Well. Last question for you is, you know, what advice would you give to somebody who is just starting out in this industry?
I would say the same thing I would tell someone who wants to get started in investing. Don't be afraid. Fear stops us from doing a lot in life, from taking the next step in a relationship, from buying a car, you know, whatever. But getting into this space, a lot of fear stops people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fear is a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I never want to bash it, right? Because there's a reason that God gave us that mm-hmm. sense. But when you have a fear, you know you can attack. And so if you're scared of raising capital, talk to someone who raises capital. If you're afraid of operating, talk to someone who's an operator. This community is very giving, right? Mm-hmm. And you can also take part in like paid masterminds and paid groups. Mm-hmm. You want to invest in yourself, but don't let the fear stop you. Again, it's take that first step and then take the next first step and do that 10 times and you'll be further down the road.
Keep on taking that first step. So, I mean, you mentioned masterminds, you mentioned Raise Fest. Are you in that mastermind?
I'm in Raise Masters. I've been in for a couple of years, you know, and the big thing that I enjoy about that is the group. Hunter's amazing. You know, he's got a ton of, Hunter Thompson, the yep. leader of that, got a ton of information. He's been doing it for a long time. But the group is just incredible. There's a lot of mm-hmm. like, just very high performing operators there
yep.
who will give you the time of day. And just because you're in that group, you know, I can reach out to, you know, I've been on the phone with Rob Beardsley, you know, these guys are top operators, Matt Owens, Sandhya Shasardi, like these people will pick up the call because they know you're in Race Masters and, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a very giving community. It's great.
Nice.
Ivan, I got to shout out Ivan Vian, who great operator, great guy.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I think groups like that are important to be in. You know, I started out in several groups, but yeah, being in groups where you're around people who are doing what you're doing. And I think what you said earlier was important as well, where if you have a fear of something, if you think that, yeah, if you're afraid of something, go talk to somebody about it. You know, hey, I have a hard time raising capital. I have a hard time talking to other people. I have a hard time doing X. You know, if you're in that group where you're around people like that, that's really going to help out your own personal growth. So anyway, about time to wrap up right now. So one last question for you, and that's how can listeners learn more about you?
Well, we have our website, firstgenfoundations.com. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. You know, our socials are, I'm sure Brian will put them on the show notes, but we're at First Gen Foundations. And we just like to, again, a big thing for us is education. So we like to educate folks. If you go on the website, there's several articles. You have our investment thesis. And even something like that, just to go, just research the thing, right? How does someone do that, whatever it is mm-hmm. they're doing? And so I would encourage anyone that wants to get started in this type of business. It is mm-hmm. hard. It's not easy. There's a lot of moving pieces, but it can be done. I'm not smarter than most. Okay. You know, I'm just nose to the grindstone, has eyes on the horizon, right? There's yep. times to look down and times to look up.
Yep. So I remember somebody telling me that exact same thing, that, you know, this industry is full of a bunch of regular people who just work hard, you know, yeah. and when I realized that, it made everything else a lot easier for me, you know, imposter syndrome disappeared. Cause like, yeah, I'm a regular person, just like everybody else. I just need to, you know, sit down, work hard and push. But anyway, thank you so much. I very much appreciate your time today. Yeah. My advice to everybody here is don't wait to buy real estate and wait.